the shlichus. So many different areas of halacha. Shlichus for kiddushin, shlichus for gerushin, shlichus for truma, and then we didn't even get to the part about shlichus for kavanos. The Gemara succeeded in the part of shlichus that also. And when all the dust settles, the Gemara comes to the realization that we don't even really need all the shlichus because we can really derive one from another, as we've already said before. There's the principles and the hatsads and combining, learning one thing from two things, etc. When all the dust settles, the Gemara says the pasuk by truma. The pasuk about tem gam atem l'rabbis as a shliach isn't really necessary. The word gam is really superfluous. And the Gemara says, so what does it teach us? Because we already know shlichus. The Gemara says, teaches us the following. So picking up on the mouth from the days. The Gemara says, el atem gam atem l'amalei. It's there to teach us Rabbi Yana. It's dinner Rabbi Yana. Ma gam atem atem b'nei bris av shulchem b'nei bris. That here the Torah is not teaching us the Ika Din of Shlichus. The Ika Din of Shlichus I already know from other sources. What the Torah is teaching me is a detail in Ilcha Shlichus. The detail being that the Shliach has to be a Ben Bris. The Shliach has to be Jewish. And if he's not Jewish, then the whole parasha of Shlichus doesn't apply. Adkan Devarim. So we're going to try to analyze this halacha of Gam Atem L'Rabba Shluchem to exclude a non-Ben Bris, and trying to understand what the parameters of this din are. So everybody agrees to this, it's not a question of din in the Torah, that a goy cannot be a shliach. From three or few places, a goy cannot be a shliach. However, one can raise a question, just in terms of the lumdus, in terms of understanding what the nature of this halacha is all about. What does this mean that a goy can't be a shliach? What is the chisar, what is the deficiency, what is the Torah teaching us within this dress of chisar that a goy can't be a shliach? So one can understand this in one of two ways. One can understand that the chisorim, the deficiency in a goy being a shliach, is almost a deficiency in the principle of shluch shlom kemoisai. There's a certain equation that's present in Hilchos Shlichus. There's a certain understanding in Hilchos Shlichus that what the shliach does, in effect, relates back to the Baal HaBayis. Then we spoke a little bit in the sugya mitzvah Shiva Gufo, what shlichus is, perhaps what shlichus is not. Maybe shlichus is even more than just the maisa of the shliach, going back to the shliach. Maybe even the possibility, maybe the shliach actually becomes like the shliach. Remember, is that true? Is it not true? That's right. But we're purple about this. There's a lot of lumdus about just what precisely is that relationship. But everybody agrees there's a relationship that's being forged. Everyone agrees that we're creating some kind of a bond between the shliach and the shliach. And maybe that's that halacha of kemoso. Lies the chisaron of a goy. Why? Because a Jew and a goy can only become just so close in the sense, I don't mean this in terms of assimilation to match, I don't talk about. I'm talking about in terms of this halachic bond of shulchan kemoso. Maybe the Torah is telling us is that relation cannot be created between a Jew and a goy. And that's the ultimate reason why there's no shlichus for goy. So it's not pshat that the goy per se, there's nothing wrong with the goy, there's nothing deficient, nothing lacking in the goy. A goy in theory should be able to be a shliach, but if you can't have a goy serving as a shliach, the Jew is just not going to work. It's the chisar, it's linked to chisar in the din of the Muslim. Well, maybe we're going down the wrong path altogether. Maybe the reason why there's no shlichus for a goy is shlichus is a chiddush. It's a chiddush at Torah. It's almost like enoch habal chiddushay. The Torah gives a chiddush of shlichus, and the Torah puts the brakes on and says shlichus only applies to certain types of people. For example, a kohen can't be a shliach, and other people can't be a shcheinah, a shaykeh. A lot of people can't be a shlichim. So the reason why a goy can't be a shliach is kachazeh. That's a chisar in the gavra. In order to be the chiddush of shlichus, you have to meet the criteria. And one of the criteria is you have to be Jewish. So it's not a chisar in the relation between the shalech and the shliach, but rather it's a relation in the etzem hagavra that a goy is mufka for the parasha. Not mufka, he was never given the parasha. The parasha of shlichus was never this chadesh for a goy. The parasha of shlichus was only this chadesh for a Jew. So how do you understand this? Everybody agrees, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that ein shlichus, that's for sure. Question is, what's the nature of this din? Is this a din, a chisard of the yachas, bein, yishaleach, yishaleach? Or is this a chisard in, chisaron, begavra, ronis chadcha, Shlichos. So can I give you any feedback from any Gemaras? Any Gemaras that may sound one way or another. There's a very tricky Gemara about Metzia. Remember yesterday, Gemara about Metzia? Very strange Gemara. The Gemara quotes Rav Ashi, and then immediately rejects Rav Ashi. Why is it so strange? Just stylistically, it's very strange. Who wrote the Gemara? Rashi. Yeah. He wrote the Gemara, but yet the next generation or the next line, whatever it is, so the Talmidim Rav Ashi, it was really Rav Ashi, Ravina, that Talmidim, that Kufa. So Rav Ashi himself comes up with this unbelievable Chiddush, and then the stump of the Gemara says, it's so wrong, it's so off. The Gemara used a really, really tough word. What's the word? I'm not sure what the word is. Barusa, Badusa, there's different versions. Yourself with the word. Whatever it is, it's not a compliment. So the bottom line is, Rav Ashi came with the Gevaldik Chiddush. Tremendous Chiddush in the Chashlichas. What was Rav Ashi's Chiddush? He remembers. Before it became Barusa sized, what was it? What was the Chiddush? Oh, so what? Okay, what's the word of the version?
That,
okay, that's the gears. That's the version I don't want. What is the other version? That is. That
a Jew can be
so what happened? What did you say? That maybe, H equals the Yaakov is not absolute. It means that. Again, what did you say? Ki Amrina, who remembers Lashon Gemara? In Ulididon, right? Okay? Means a goy can't be a shaliach for us, but we can be a shaliach for a goy. The Gemara was willing to accept that, at least logically, Rav Ashi suggested such a distinction, that we can serve as a shaliach for a goy, a goy can serve as a shaliach for us. How do you think Rav Ashi looked at the chisar of Eshbach La'akum? There's no question under the sun that Rav Ashi did not look at him through the eyes of Yachas, maybe Shalach, or Shaliach. Because if you look at it in the eyes of the relationship, if it's a relationship deficiency, then obviously there's no difference who's the shliach and the shliach. If it is impossible to conceive a relationship between a going a Jew and the rabbi shlichos, what in the world would the difference be? Which direction is going? Who's the shliach and the shliach? So we have no question what Rav Ashi was assuming, but that doesn't help us too much because we reject Rav Ashi and the Gemara rejects Barusa Badusa. The rest of Rav Ashi is not right. At the end of the day, we hold that there's no shlichos in either direction. So now, yesh lachkor, now we could raise a question, what nekuda do we disagree with Rav Ashi on? So this is a standard type of a long list. Let me see a sugya. One opinion says something, and within that opinion, it was making a certain assumption, and then that opinion is rejected. So the question becomes, well, what's rejected? Do we reject the entire opinion? Hakol mikoko. Every assumption that was made is just rejected. Or do I say, no, I'm not rejecting the whole story. Yeah, 97% right. We're just, just touching it up a little bit, rejecting a little bit of the kudah at the very end. So one could raise this question, what happened to Selfai Gemara? When the Aleda and the Rayim, with Ashi's colleagues and his Talmidim rejected him, and said, no, it's not true, that the Lohi, that there's no shtichus for going, Bein l'shaliach, Bein l'shaliach, what was the nature of that rejection? So one could argue that maybe they're rejecting Rav Ashi Hachol Mikokol. They were much rejecting everything Rav Ashi stood for. Rav Ashi thought it wasn't a chisar and yachas, and the Lady Amoraim thought it was a chisar and yachas. And once the Lady Amoraim redefined and reformulated what the nature of the chisar is, that is what conceptually Rav Ashi was rejected. And so maybe that was the Nekudas HaMachlokes, Rav Ashi and everybody else. Rav Ashi thought that it wasn't the chisar of yachas, therefore we can differentiate whether it's the shliach or the mshalach. And the other Amoraim said, no, it's not true because it is a chisar of yachas. That's one way of learning. Or another way of learning is that Rav Ashi was correct. It's in fact not a chisar in yachas. It's a chisar in the gavra. Whereas Rav Ashi thought that the chiddush of Torah was that the Torah is singling out and saying a goy can't be a shaliach, everybody else said, you're right. The Torah is saying a goy can't be a shaliach. And what else is the Torah saying? A goy can't be a mishaliach either. But conceptually, Rav Ashi is right. There's nothing to do with yachas. Even we agree there's nothing to do with yachas. But the nekudas HaMachlokes was, what is the chisar in the gavra? Is the chisar in the gavra only vis-a-vis shaliach or even vis-a-vis shaliach? So when all the dust settles, what do we know? We know that Rav Ashi was not a big yachas person, but that's not so important to us. It's much more important is why we reject Rav Ashi. So at the end of the day, if I wonder, who cares? What's the difference? But it's a chisar in the yachas, and the shliach. Tachos. Ancient of Yaakov, this is a chayk v'la yavar, not even a question. Atem, it's enough of a magic word, Atem. Nobody argues this. Who cares? Who cares who this is? Who's going to give? Who cares? I care. Why do I care? What would be enough, Kavita? Oh, what's the din? Can one guy make another guy a shaliach? No. Can John make Jim a shaliach or not? So if you hold that whole problem of the goyim was the relationship, so it means John can't be related to Yaakov Shmerel. Jim can't be related to Moshe David. But Moshe David and Yaakov Shmerel can be related to each other, and John and Jim can be related to each other. We have no problem. One guy be reminded, another guy is a shaliach. In whatever shape or form, we need that or care about that. We'll see if we have to go on. So if you're focusing only on the Yachas, but fundamentally the Pasha Shlichas were given to all of Bnei Adam, so then one guy can afford another guy Shlich, that's okay. But if you hold that it's not a Chisor in Yachas, but rather it's a Chisor in the Gavra Shalom, Yitzchad Sheshlichas to Yaakov, that means Shlichas is a Gval to Gichirish. I never would have said the Pasha Shlichas if not for the fact that the Torah told it to us. Now that I'm telling you that the Torah only told you the Pasha Shlichos for Jews, it was never given to Goyim. So the starting point, the baseline was, there's no Shlichos. Before you opened up Masechet Mishnah with a mouth, I don't mean this literally, but who ever heard of Shlichos? Nobody ever heard of Shlichos. This is wild. Ish Bekadosh Be'boi B'Shlucho, crazy. What? We don't even need it. Where's it come from? That's what we're spending this 5 weeks trying to figure out, the source for Shlichos. So once you tell me that the starting point is there's no such thing as shlichus, it's a chiddush haTorah, and the Torah put the brakes on the chiddush and didn't give it to goyim, so it's not going to apply even from one goyim to the next. So this nekuda, this shaila, this lomdish shaila, it had tremendous nafkamina, one goyim to another, and this was the machlekes, the gedolei gedolei achleskim. Who knows? Remember the names of the balek tukta? Everyone saw?
Ishmael
quilted. We know who he's quoting from. Everyone saw? Masses Binyamin and a lot of people floating around this discussion. Okay. It's usually in the Olam HaTorah, it's presented as a machlokes between the Masses Binyamin and the Magen Avraham. Okay, I don't know if you saw the Magen Avraham's name thrown around this discussion also, but the Magen Avraham actually Hilchos Mechiras Chavetz. So the Masses Binyamin, one of the early achronim, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Masses Binyamin, who preceded him, who said that when do we say in Shlichus the Yaakov, that's from Jews to Goyim, from one Goy to the next, Yei Shlichus. And the Magen Avraham says, I beg to differ, there's no Shlichus, Eish Shlichus the Yaakov, Klau, Afilu Ben Goy Le Goy. You're probably wondering, well, who cares? I mean, it's a very nice, interesting Nafkamina. Nafkamina, next time John calls me with the Shayin, I'll know what to tell. John wants to, but what does John care what the shlichus is about? What do I care what the John cares about the shlichus? John's not being Makadish a woman, John's not being Megarish a woman, John's either Makadish Trumos or being a Karveh. Well, who cares? So how does the Shalach impact on us? That's the real Shalach. Okay, we're not writing a Shulchan Aruch now for John and Jim. We're trying to write a Shulchan Aruch for Yankel and Roshia. So we're trying to figure out who cares whether the shlichus was doing Goyim or not. And ultimately, again, all emanates from our sugya. It all depends on what the nature of the shlichus is. Why should this be? We need a little bit of a background to appreciate, to understand why this interests us. So we open up a Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia. Everyone got a chance to see the Gemara? Comes the Gemara in Masechet Bava Metzia, and there's a Shaila, a left field. Comes the Gemara with the following Shaila. We all know that there's a principle called Amir Li Akum. On Shabbos, Yom Tov, what I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to ask a Goy to do. Where did that come from, by the way? Where did that come from? Amir Li Akum. That's from the Torah, that's from the Rabbanim. Okay, good answer. Usually the right answer. It's a machlokes whether that's the right answer. So tell me, Achidish, wow, Pasuk in Pashas Vav, Kol Malachol Lo Ye Aseh Bohem. It doesn't say lo ya'aseh, it says lo ya'aseh. Lo ya'aseh means a lashon, like a mele, done by somebody else. So who are you quoting? According to Mechilta, quoted by Rashi and Pashas Bel. Rashi and Pashas Bel quotes Mechilta, it says, kol melacha lo ya'aseh bohem. That comes to teach us that if a goy does melacha for me, that's an issa deraisa. Lo ya'aseh filai de'acherim. So who disagrees with Rashi? Everybody and everybody under the sun disagrees with Rashi, led by the Ramban and led by Mamash everybody, and probably Rashi himself. There's no way to say, how can you say such a thing that Emil Yaakov is the Araisa? What's the problem? The Gemara says 100 times Emil Yaakov is the Rabbana. Gemara is 2 hours of a Shabbos, Emil Yaakov Shvus, and therefore all the clues that we have, Hilchas and Emil Yaakov, are predicating the assumption it's only the Rabbana anyway. So the Rashi is a very, very schwer Rashi, very, very difficult Rashi. Rashi is invented. Sometimes it's not 100% clear. Rashi sometimes will quote in his parashah Chumash, will put in something from the Mechilta to the Torah's Kodim or something that really sounds like it's a Rabbanan, and it's not clear where Rashi put it in. Did Rashi mean it as an asmachta? Did Rashi mean that it's a real din deraisa? It's not clear. So this Rashi is not clear. The Pashas and all the Gemaras and all the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, there's no question about it. Emil Yaakov is the Rabbanan. Why? Why, by the way, just before you even get to our topic, why did they instead of Emil Yaakov?
It's
2 days in Rabbi. 2 days, not 5 days, let's see it. Yeah. Let's see it. What are the reasons why? Why did they instead of Emil Yaakov?
Either
because
I didn't
shlichus, means it's almost like a quasi shlichus. It's like a make believe shlichus, even though it's not really shlichus. It's no shlichus for going, but it's like a make believe shlichus. Oh, so maybe it's related to a general topic of not talking about weekday kinds of things. That's what's talking about. Different malachas. You're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to talk about. So it's Rambam writes the shows like that. Other Rishonim write the issues of lead to a zilzul. There are several other reasons. That's very good. Some Rishonim say if you have to go and do it, that's the thing you're going to do it. A lot of different reasons why Chazal asked to really happen. But the common denominator of all the reasons is the pashas against that Rashi and against that Mechilta. Pashas in all the Gemara says it's on a mitzvah rabba. So with that background, the Gemara raises the Shaila in Maseches Bavitzia. Did Chazal institute the Isser of Emil Yaakov only by Shabbos or by Yom Tov? And Tosfos says even Chol HaMoed snuck in. There's an Isser of Emil Yaakov with Chol HaMoed, but even though Chol HaMoed is not such a common to the area of Halacha, it's just Ein Lochelik on Mabach, the person who's Mabach, and not really such a serious area of Halacha. So Chol HaMoed snuck in almost on the heels of Yom Tov. So maybe Chazal only instituted Emil Yaakov and Shabbos Yom Tov Dikah Dinah. What about other areas of halacha? Halacha that have nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. What's the din? Would we say Emil Yaakov in those cases or not? What is the halacha? So what's this doing in Bavitzia? Do we know?
Okay, Chassidah.
It's talking about Chosim as Hapara. The Pasuk says in Parashat Kisei, there's an incident that I said to muzzle your animal. It's working. So the Gemara says, Shaila, what if I don't muzzle the animal myself? I have a goy. How am I going? It's a goy to do the muzzling for me. So midat Torah, that wouldn't be a problem because I didn't do the act of chasima. Would that be a problem on the level of the Rabbanan? So the Gemara, you buy a little, the Gemara wants to know what's the difference. So the Gemara presents that maybe Shabbos and Yom Tov are different because Shabbos is in a skila. So it's a much more serious type of an issur. So the Chazal instituted the issur of Emir Yaakov. Maybe by issur chasima, which is probably the maybe not. Okay, even though the Gemara does present chasima, the law of muzzling, as being less than Shabbos, law versus karis, law versus skila. Yom Tov, there is an issur Emil Yaakov, and Yom Tov is only a law. Chol HaMoed, there is an issur Emil Yaakov, according to many Rishonim, Chol HaMoed is only the Rabbanan. So obviously, you have to say that once they ask the Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed all snuck under as well. You kind of got in under the radar. But something which is a pure Rabbanan, which has nothing at all to do with Shabbos and Chol HaMoed, such as the law of the chasima, midday aser to the aser of the Yaakovman. So that's the Gemara Shaila. Very nice, interesting Shaila. So the Gemara brings a Raya. So the Gemara brings a Raya. Another area of Allah, actually, this past week's Pasha. The Torah says in Pasha Shamor, Uva'artzachem lo sa'asu. What does that mean, Uva'artzachem lo sa'asu? So you're not allowed to destroy the Ivar HaZera of an animal. So you have an animal, and I want to castrate the animal, because I don't have any children anymore. So one is not permitted to do any kind of sterilization, kind of stuff to an animal, and for a person for that matter as well. There's an issa there called about Aretz Chem Lo Sasu. What does it have to do with Aretz Chem Lo Sasu? Because the pasuk right before is talking about what? It's listing off all the mumen of a behema, and it says Ma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus. Those are 4 different mumen in the Ivari Hatzera of a male animal. And then after the Torah says you can't bring those kinds of animals as a korban, that's a mum. Uva'aretz Chem Lo Sasu. The Aitzchem Lasasu doesn't mean don't bring it as a carbon. It said don't bring it as a carbon. Aitzchem Lasasu means don't do those kinds of things. Don't be misaris your behaviors. So the Torah Shabbat explains to us how come it says Va'artzchem? It would make it seem almost misleading us that this Issa only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and that's clearly not the case.
This iser is what we call a chodes haguf. It's a relates to a person's body, nothing to do with agriculture. So obviously it applies even to chutz laretz. So the arts philosophy is that we would kol should be arts chava food. Whatever the case may be. So all animals are included in this iser of arts. And of course, people as well. A person is besaris in the being. So that would be an outright iser deraisa of arts philosophy. Fine. So Gemara is the following shah. The Gemara says, what's the din? If a person doesn't do the serus himself, but he has a guy do the serus for him. So Gemara says, that's outright awesome. Not a shah, you're not allowed to have a guy do the serus for you. To such an extent that the Gemara says that if a person owned an animal and a guy went ahead and did the serus for you, even though you didn't even tell him explicitly to do it, he did it lower on his own, and he gave a little wink and said, don't tell me, I'm not really telling you. It's a rip. The Gemara says, if he does it for you, you're not even allowed to benefit from it. And then Chazal made a takana, you have to sell that animal. You can't even use that animal anymore because you violated the yisr of having a guy do it for you. The Gemara says, oh, that's a double portion. So those are the pshita of that. And you're not allowed to be the sarist animal, you're not allowed to be a guy. The Gemara says, what's the yisr? It must be, I'll say, really akum. Zem from Dodi, you see, from here, there's a really akum shari surim. Even though the Yisr of the Saris is a behemoth is only alive, it's on the same level as Chosen Pipara. You see from the din of Sirus, I think, that yes, the answer is Chazal did institute Amir Yachum. They did prohibit Amir Yachum on Sirus, and since they did it on Sirus, they must have done it on Chasim as well. That was the Gemara suggested, right? Yeah.
How do people get a dog to
do that? Oh boy, we got big problems. Who owns a dog? Who yet doesn't want to know the answer to that question? Okay. Good, you probably don't. So, we'll see as the circuit develops. Is there any way whatsoever to be Malamit Chos and our fellow dog owners? I don't mean fellow as one of them. I'm just saying for you fellow dog owners.
What's it if you buy one that's already castrated?
That's great. That's wonderful. Okay? Well, that's usually not the case. So we'll... because they do have to... We'll talk. We'll get there. Okay? Alright, anyway. So, the Gemara made this jump, the Gemara made this equation that we had a Shiloh, is there really Yaakov? Might be Shari Surim, so we're not sure. The Gemara says, well, Sirus for sure there is, well, there's the Sirus, but the Shiloh is by Chasim as well. Then the Gemara backpedals a little bit and says, you know, it's not a Raya. Not necessarily a Raya, you know what? The Gemara never explained why it's also to have to go and do serious for you. You would never said, lack of mind, it's also because I'm really at home. We assumed that way. Why else would it be also? After all, I'm not allowed to do it. So what I can't do, I can't. I said, go to do it. What other possible reason could serious idea go to be also? The Gemara comes out also from that. No. Maybe serious idea goyim is also for a different, nothing to do with our sugya. We're learning the wrong topic. Not the first, not the last time we're learning the wrong sugya, says the Gemara. Maybe the reason why Sirus said the goy is usher is because the goy is not allowed to be Sirus animals. Maybe this is from the colloquial Sheva Mitzvah B'Nedach. I don't mean Sheva, it must be the eighth. The phantom eighth Mitzvah B'Nedach. And then maybe another one, and another one, and a few others here and there. So the Sheva Mitzvah B'Nedach are not as all-encompassing as you think they are. This would have been very disappointing to my daughter this morning because of the way to Sheva this morning. So she's almost 10 years old. She told me that she's having a Dios Clolios, you know, a contest or something. Dios Clolios is a nice way in elementary school to say anything and everything about anything about Judaism that every kid should know at some point and never learned along the way, so we're going to stick it into this and make it into a contest. So this is when kids learn about how the names of the parshas in the Torah, and this is when kids learn the days of which of the time is Tzibur during the course of the year. And this is when the kids learn what the Chumash Megillas are. And if they get a little bit more advanced, they actually learn what the other books of Tanakh are. So this is just general hodgepodge of material, of knowledge. So today, the Rakhshav, there wasn't that much traffic today, so we don't have to finish the whole thing. But one of the questions was, the Sheva Mitzvah B'Nach. Have you ever heard the Sheva Mitzvah B'Nach sung to a beautiful song? What?
A 10-year-old.
Yeah, by a 10-year-old, yeah. So I just found it very humorous. How, like the refrain at the end was, just so nice. Obviously, I was clueless about any of those things meant. Okay. But anyway, so if, according to some Tanoi, there would be another stanza to the song, it would be Siros. So comes the Gemara Mamatzia, it says there was one Tana out there. He was a very famous Tana. Everyone know his name? Rabbi Chitka. Anyone ever heard of him before? I have a personal relationship with Rabbi Chitka. Anyone know? To the best of my knowledge, I only two things in Shas that I quote from Rabbi Chitka. One is the sheep. It's a guitar. What are you talking about? You don't know so many things that he said. So Rabbi Chitka, number one, said that Goyim are Metsuva and Sirus. He learned that from a pasuk called Drush and said that the Goyim are also not allowed to do Sirus. And the other thing Rabbi Chitka held, he had a statement in Masech HaShabbos in the 16th parak. Rabbi Chitka held you have to eat four meals on Shabbos. Everybody else held you have to have three meals. I guess good for us to pass like the Chachamim. Rabbi Chitka held you have to have a fourth meal. So how did I know besides the Masech HaShabbos ones, but how do I know that Rabbi Chitka was the time that said that? Anyone here lived in Kerbi Avna? Okay. Did you hear from Rabbi Chitka in Kerbi Avna?
Possible.
I don't think so, but I think they changed the derech in Kerbi Avna. I'll tell you why. When I was in Kerbi Avna, so the Seder, no one else knows Kerbi Avna. So when I was in Kerbi Avna, this goes back with your father, before your father's day. I was there 1 year, I think we overlapped, 1 year, I forgot. It goes back a good 30 plus years. So in Kerbi Avna, Shabbos morning, right after davening, we would have Suda Shabbos. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, but everybody likes Suda Shabbos. They don't do that anymore now, they just have Kiddush, right? But they wash?
There might be rules. They don't officially wash.
Okay, it used to be everyone washed. That was with the Shmia. Then there was Seder, and then the Mashiach, and then we had Davening Mincha, and then was lunch afterwards at 1. Now they're a little different now. The lunch was like 1 from 1 o'clock, 1:30, whatever it was. That was the Cholent, that was the Schnitzel, whatever, Kubel, whatever lunch was. That was the third Suda, that was it. In the summertime, so the Shabbos wouldn't be over until 8, 9 o'clock at night. Got hungry, so they would serve again, like about 6 o'clock or so. They would serve us another very simple Suda. There were actually challah rolls there with some, I don't know all that much, but there were some challah rolls. And that was officially called, the name of that Suda was Suda's Rabbi Chitka. Because he was the Tana who would have four Sudas and challahs. That was Suda's Rabbi Chitka. Okay, then back to the story. So the Tana Rabbi Chitka is of the opinion that a goy is not allowed to be misaris an animal. Since a goy is not allowed to misaris an animal, when I ask the goy to misaris the animal for me, forget about Amir Yaakov, which is the worst only of the Rabbanan. What do we have here? A much more serious problem. Yeah? The Chufnevi Der Aisa. It's an Issa Der Aisa Lefnevi. I'm not allowed to be mach or someone in an Aveira, even if it's a goy. If I give a goy chazavi, that's not Lefnevi, he's allowed to be chazavi. But if I give a goy even in a chayti, that's Lefnevi Der Aisa. If I give a goy an idol to worship with, it's Lefnevi Der Aisa. If I give a goy the ability to steal or to kill or whatever, I facilitate his Aveira, that's an Issa Der Aisa for Lefnevi. So that's what I just had an interesting, fascinating Lefnevi Shiloh last night. It's not yet Lefnevi, it could potentially become Lefnevi. The Shiloh is as follows. It's the second part of the round, the same exact Shiloh. There was a person who bought a house from a non-Jew, and the non-Jew told them that hidden somewhere in the backyard is a statue, it was an idol. That apparently there's this like good luck charm kind of a thing that they think has some kind of a voodoo or something or others, and it's supposed to be a school for selling your house. So I guess it worked. So the Jew, the firm person, bought that house from the goy. And the guy said to them, I don't remember exactly where I buried this idol, but if you ever were doing any work in the backyard, you have to find it, do me a favor, I'd love to get it back. So the person called his rabbi, the rabbi called him frantic, is that the Jew's problem now, although Sabi Sueva of Ezecha, you're not allowed to own a Bedezor, you're not allowed to own a Bedezor in your property, it's not yours. So the Shaila is, am I bechuyev now to go bring in a machine to undo my entire backyard, dig up my entire backyard, to track down, to find this idol in order to get rid of it? Is that my Yisrael Deraisa? So why the rabbi call me? Because he heard I gave a shir about this 3 years ago. So it was another the fellow in my community, we had the same shiloh. At the time, we came to the conclusion that it was probably okay to leave it because it probably wasn't really an idol. It wasn't something that people mamish bowed down to mamish worship. It was much closer, almost like a rabbit's foot, like a foot of clover kind of thing. You know, guy, a little cuckoo, a little superstitious. But in terms of really believing that it was mamish, like a divine being that they were mamish worshiping and serving, so that crazy, a little crazy they were, but that crazy and they weren't. So we thought that was that it was Mikra, did not an Israel subset of Risefa. As a matter of fact, this guy told the Jewish new owner, if you find it, give it back to me. So now the Rav called me, and what if Itacha finds it? What if the Jew finds it? Should he give it back to the guy? Should he not give it back to the guy? So it's a little bit of a, on the one hand, it's Dinim Omnis, the guy owns it, so he should give it back to the other hand. You give it back to him, so the Midas can enhance his belief in this. It's not so partial that the guy is allowed to be believing in this kind of stuff. So unless you hold, well, it's not real of a Zohar, then there's no real different Hebrew on this for the guy. A guy is not allowed to serve idols, but for a guy to believe in Mishigasim of superstitions or something, if it's not really a Derech of a Zohar, for a Jew to believe in it would be a problem. For a guy to believe, maybe it's not a problem. So we're probably back and forth. The good news was, they said, listen, we don't know where it is. So hopefully the Jew will never find it. So tell him not to dig in his backyard. If by some chance he finds it, then call me back and ask me a shadow. So I'm hoping no one's gonna get finished. Okay. Okay, anyway.
So you're saying that it's not really an idol, it's really a Mizar, it's more of a like a Ma'onin Mechashiv, that kind of stuff.
So if you assume that Goyim are not Muzharim and those kinds of things, also not 100% partial, but if you assume Goyim are not Muzharim and those kinds of things, so then maybe you're right, maybe it is. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Gemara says that we know for a fact I'm not allowed to ask the guy to do Sirus on the Behemah, but we're not sure why it's also. We're not sure, is it also the Rabbanu because of Lifnei Yiver? I'm sorry, because of Amir Yachon. And if that would be the case, then we can extrapolate from Sirus to Chasina to other areas of Halacha. And let's say no, that Sirus is not really the same as Chasina, because Sirus, it's also for a much more serious reason, because the Lefneiver are following the view of Rabbi Chita. So it's unclear what we're supposed to do with the Sirus. So again, everyone agrees the Sirus is lost. There's no Shaila, the Sirus is lost. Sir, we're just not quite sure whether it would be Asim in HaKorah or Asim in HaRabban. So at the end of the day, does it make a difference? Besides Chasim and others, there's a Sirus. Does it make a slight bit of difference? The Reis and the Rabbanim, the Fehiv, and the Yaakov, we're Torah observant Jews. We like to keep the Reis and the Rabbanim. So what does it matter to us? So the Chumas HaDeshen, anyone knows about how the Shals and Chumas of Chumas HaDeshen were written? Chumas HaDeshen was a Rav in Germany in the 1400s. From the very, very end of the Kufa, of the Ashkenazi, the Rishon, almost like borderline, the early Achronim already. Chumas HaDeshen, that's fascinating shilas. You know why? He has some of the most fascinating
shilas. Crusades?
What?
From the Crusades?
No, never crusades. You know why they're so fascinating? Because they never happened. He made them up. He had chubas that he wanted to write. I mean, he had shtibletars he wanted to say. So he presented shilas as if, that's what he writes. He presented the shilas as if they were shilas, and then he wrote responses to tell you what he wanted. This Shibbol Torah said, that Shibbol Torah said, this Shibbol Torah said. So you make believe, he writes the same. You may make believe in Shilas. That's what they're the greatest. The Jews see Shilas because they never happened. Anyway, so the Chumas HaDeshen discusses the following Shilas. He discusses how can we possibly, is there any way, any Yetzer whatsoever, to do a Sirus to an animal? Here, a Jew owns an animal. He wants to do Sirus. How do you do it? The Maaseh Gemara says it's awesome. Bein mitam b'fneivim, bein mitam b'li yachon. So the Chumas HaDeshen raises the following question. What's the din if I sell the animal to a goy? I really sell. I don't mean like a hocus pocus, mechiras chon. I mean, I really, really sell the animal to a goy. I don't mean to negate mechiras chon. It's like, I'm not going to sell the animal to a goy. I own an animal. I sell it to a goy. And I know the goy is giving me sarsa. I'm not even going to shine these goy's sarsa on it. He's sitting by the. He asked me to bring it to the vet. He's up to the Sirus in a minute. Is that a problem or not? Can I give a goy to an animal to a goy? Can I sell an animal to a goy, knowing full well he's going to be misunderstood? So what is the mistake? Let's think it through, Rabbi. Say, what do you think? What should it be? So if you hold that the reason why I'm not allowed to ask the goy to be serious with my animal is because of the neighbor, so then that would be a violation of the neighbor. What's the difference when he's doing Sirus on my animal, his animal? if you're in the realm of a lifting of a deer, I said it then, and for sure you have a problem. Even if it's my animal, it's his animal. But if you hold against Rabbi Chitka, like all the other Tanaim disagree with Rabbi Chitka, could be Rabbi Chitka, follow Rabbi Chitka. If you disagree with Rabbi Chitka and you hold that the real reason why you can't ask a guy to do serious on your animal is nothing to do with lifting of a deer, but just simply Amir Liakom. Amir Liakom means I can't ask a guy to do, let's say in Shabbos, a malacha for who?
For you.
What if I ask the guy to do a malacha himself? I say to my non-Jewish kudya, I say, listen, don't do me any timers. If you want to turn the light for yourself, because you want to read gauges and day, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to ask the Talmud Goy to do something for their benefit. So comes to the suggestion and says, if you hold that the issue is also there, I see then we're in a pickle. But if you hold the issue is only out, so merely Yaakov, once the animal belongs to the guy, so then one can argue that there wouldn't be any lifting. That's the Gemara, that's the Jewish suggestion's suggestion. But he's nervous a little bit. You know what? He was actually a little bit nervous because Shav Deraisa, we still weren't Machriya. We can't say with certainty that we reject the Bichit. You know? He's trying to cover himself from all bases. So on the one hand, he wants to sell animals to the Goyim. He was sitting there in Germany in 1400. They're about to wait to sell their animals to the Goyim. And he was actually hemming and hawing, hesitating, can you do it or not? Shav Deraisa, the finger of Cyrus. So he was actually goes one step further. He says, you know, when I sell my animal to the Goyim, give me a good guy's name, good farmer, good Goyish farmer's name.
Jim.
Okay, I sell it to Jim, right? Jim's going to be Masaris, the animal himself. What does Jim know about Masaris animals? He's going to go to who? He's going to go to Dr. Who? A good vet's
Jim.
Name.
Jim.
Dr. Jim. Well, he was the owner, he was the farmer. He can't be the doctor also.
Jim.
Dr. Peter. You guys remember Dr. Doolittle, right? Like, before you guys were born, right? Wasn't he the vet? What?
Yes.
Yeah, Dr. Doolittle. Okay, good. So Yanko's sitting there up this, he's calling up to Jim Sadeshi, and he's texting Jim Sadeshi, wants to know, Eppes, I got to send my animal to Jim, but Jim himself, he doesn't have a clue. Jim knows how to milk cows. He knows how to, he knows how to run a rodeo, so he doesn't know anything about being the Sadeshi's animals. He's even learned Dr. Doolittle to do it. Dr. Doolittle's our guy. So comes to the suggestion and says, maybe that's not a problem for anything. You know why? Why is it not a flavor? I'm being Machshel, Dr. Doolittle, what's the answer? Oh, come to Gemara of the Nazarim says, Lifnever, Amar Achamana, go Lifnever to Lifnever. I'm causing one guy to ask another guy, that's not Lifnever. It's too far removed. Lifnever is when I'm Machshel one person. When I'm Machshel someone who in turn is Machshel someone, that's Mishkan Lifnever. Lifnever, the Gemara of the Nazarim, and to the suggestion, he quotes this Gemara and says, oh, now it can be matzah l'chaladeis. Why? I'm selling it to a guy. The guy is going to ask another guy to do it for him. So al tzamir liyakom, it's zichah, not a problem. It's not my animal anymore. So for sure it's not. Al tzlifnei yiver, it's not lifnei yiver. Even though he's right, we're not even sure if he's right. Even if he's right, it's still okay. Al tzlifnei the lifnei. And it's psach from Jewish Sedesh. So this Jewish Sedesh that became the background for a very, very difficult kula that people rely on. Those who own dogs. Guy owns a dog, so Yankel owns a dog, and the vet tells him that you better be Masaris' dog. If you're not Masaris' dog, you're going to have a lot of problems. Dogs get a bit crazy about the sugar. You got to be Masaris' dog. Masaris' dog. How am I going to do that? Do it myself. That's my machine in your eyes. They ask me going to do it. It's also either Altamir Yankel or Altamir Flavor. So Mabish, my hands are tied. So the only eights is, what do I have to do with the dog? I have to sell the dog to a guy. Now, this is not what Jim Sadesh is talking about. Jim Sadesh was talking about, I really want to sell the animal. I don't want to see this animal anymore. Here, I don't want to really sell the animal to the guy. I want to sell the animal for the next 24 hours so he can get the job done and then bring me back my now Masura's dog. So some poskim will make a basis of Jim Sadesh and it's like, Mamashek Mechirus Chometz. I'm selling the dog to the guy. And so why is it also now? I'm selling the guy to the and I know exactly what's going to happen. The guy is going to take this animal to the vet. Why is that my problem? It's not a Amir Yaakov because it's a time that it's happening. It's not my dog anymore. It can't be a Amir Yaakov if it's not my Malach. The only time Amir Yaakov is also is when Isser is being done on my behalf. It's not my dog anymore. The Isser of Lifnei Iver, first of all, we're not even sure we followed Rabbi Chilka. And even if I already think, I'm not selling it to the vet. I'm selling it to my cleaning lady. And she's going to bring it to the vet. So the vet is going to do it. Hopefully
it'll be a goyish event. But the goyish vet is going to do it. That's a lift man. The lift man's not my problem. Now again, this is a big, big, big jump to what we're talking about. We're talking about, the original discussion was, I really, truly, I'm a cattle dealer. I'm not interested in this cattle dealer. I want to sell off to the goy and let him do whatever he wants. And mom couldn't kill us here. I really want it. This is exactly what I want to have. I want that dog to become suras, but I'm pulling a kunsi chesh and a harama to get around it. So in Europe, the poskim quote that the minig used to be that there was some poskim more lenient on this. So that minig is carried over to America as well. Anyone who has a dog who has been misaras a dog, this was the correct way to have done it. I can't say the correct. This was the only possible eitzah to have done it. So anyone who has a dog in the future should ask the Rav Shail about how to do this properly. You have to mamish transfer ownership on the dog to the goy. You have to get a kinyan on him. The dog, mamish, the chiyus chometz, to pick up the dog, the whole nine yards. Okay. I had a shadow and somebody called me that they had already delivered the dog to the vet. It's already sitting in the vet waiting to be in Masuros, and then all of a sudden then they woke up. The guy wakes up every Pesach, you know, after the Zman Issa, as we spoke about before. So here the guy, the dog's already there, and the guy's 30 miles away. He wants to know what kinyan can we do quickly before this animal goes under. So we're trying to help everybody. So we're trying to help the dog also. Anyway, somebody else has a question on that, but we'll get back to that story. So why are we talking about this? It's a nice, interesting topic, but no, we're really talking about it because it's eventually back to the shulchan. So came along a whole group of poskim and say, wait a second, hold on, a penalty marker down on this eitzah of the Tumas Kedeshim. So how many guys you got over here? What's the number, right? We got Yanko, he's giving the dog to who? Who's the name again? Jim, Dr. D, okay? The reason why it's mutar, even according to the Reb Chitka people, is because it's a lifnei, a nocha lifnei. Nope, who's going to talk about this has to do with that topic?
Bishma says that
there's
an
odds
in your
shlichus
from going to
God. If you hold that the shlichus from one God to another, well then, when Dr. D is the kind of shliach of Jim, so you can no longer call this anymore lifting the lifting. Lifting the lifting means the person who's doing it. I'm not the Messiahist. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm talking to A, and A is talking to B. The minute that you put Shlichus into the equation, it turns out that I'm talking to A, I'm talking to B, but Shushan Kamesa means that B is A. So I'm talking to B. So I am talking to that doodle. I don't even know who he is, I never met the guy. But I am halachically talking to him based on the principle of Shlichus. So how come Tumas Kedeshim use this suggestion to get around to circumvent the entire problem, al-atzad, that there is a problem, we don't even know there is a problem, but al-atzad, Reb Chitka is right, there's a problem, how can we invoke the principle of lifnei to lifnei, what have the shlichus, zemun from that is the shlichus. So this would fit in nicely into the model of the Magen Avraham, rather than into the model of the Maaseh Binyamin. You subscribe to the Maaseh Binyamin, who says that yesh shlichus be one guy and another guy, so that's going to undermine the ability to call this a lifnei to lifnei. This is going to be plain straight out lifnei. Oh, because that's a whole nother ballgame. That gets very, very tricky, Eshuchas Bavera, because we're not sure how much that plays out in terms of Goyim also. So the whole thing starts to become very, 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 very vague. Right, so maybe. That gets very tricky depending on what you think about Eshuchas Bavera, whether the person doesn't even know that it's in a Vera, there's a Taisa that it's in a Rizva. I don't know how far we're going to get into that Sugya. Whether you're going to touch that, so you're not based. So that becomes a whole another dimension of the suit. But I'll go for the Nakuda that's relevant for us is that this issue of the Jewish tradition may very well touch upon this Master Jam in Magen Avraham. So initially we thought it's a nice academic machlekes, theoretical machlekes, but Master Jam in Magen Avraham, who cares? No, Jim and Dr. D, no one's asking a shilas. The end of the but we're asking shilas. We want to know. Can we hide behind lifted lifnei, or is Zilcha Shlichus do us in and cause this to be called a one lifnei rather than two lifneis?
Maybe you could respond that the Shlichus that we're talking, meaning who says that we're really Mama Shlichus over here, and that in this case it would be Kamoso. I mean, maybe you could say that Shlichus, in the example over here, where he's just doing an action, there's no There's no need for the shlichus necessarily.
You want to argue this is not the halachic shlichus of Truma or Pesach. This is just hiring a guy. Maybe that's not even the shlichus.
It's like I mail something. He just mailman. It's not a kamoza.
Okay. Interesting idea. Okay, so you have to really work through a lot of details in shlichus to see somebody's objections that are being raised. Right? Maybe. So guys, so we're back to the scroll. We really want to know, we're still unresolved, what is the din? Do we have shlichus from one guy to another, which again ultimately revolves around our original chakira? What was the concern? It's all one word, three letters. The entire shiur is three letters. Adem, which teaches us not tem b'nei bris, ashukam b'nei bris, the goy is excluded. We're not sure what the nature of the exclusion is. We're not sure how it's going to play out in terms of one guy to another. Do we have any other rayas? Any off the beaten path rayas? Put in a Gemara from where? What is that? Everyone figure out what that Gemara is talking about? What that Gemara is relevant for? Okay, if you figure it out, that's good, because half the Gemara is right, they don't know what in the world that Gemara is anything to do with. But let's take a look. Let's get back on it. The Gemara is posing a very, very strange question about a series of psukim in the Torah. The Torah speaks about when the Klai Yisrael are going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so they're going to find a lot of Avodah Zarah there, and they got to get rid of this Avodah Zarah. The Torah spells out what these Avodah Zarahs are, and one of the things is Asherahs. So we know Asherahs, trees that were planted for Avodah Zarah, worship. So there's an Issa, the Raya say, not allowed to be netted from them. Asherahs, this was from the Esh. Many, many places in the Torah. So you got to get rid of the Asherahs. So the Gemara Avodah Zarah, yes, it's a very important question. How did they become Asherahs in the first place? What's the problem? Who owned them? Who owns the Asherahs? A sheir is a tree. It's growing in the ground. It's connected to the ground. A mechubah karkas kakarka. Who owned Eretz Yisrael? Klal Yisrael. Was already given to the Elvis. Klal Yisrael owned Eretz Yisrael already. Yerusha that never stay in. So the Gemara is learning, wow, what a love this. Not just himself. You know, a nice speech, something for Yamat's book. The real din that Eretz Yisrael mamish belongs to Klal Yisrael, not to Musa Olam. We should inform some people about this. Obviously, apparently some people in the world today never learned that sugi was said about Azura. Maybe we should go down to the UN and discuss it a little bit. But Al Pidin, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Al Pidin, if a goy goes ahead and tries to ask a part of Eretz Yisrael, we apply the principle called Ein what? Ein was the Devashan Shaloi. A person doesn't have the halachic ability to ask something that doesn't belong to, wipe that down to something that belongs to you. It's not taifis, it doesn't mean anything. So Gemara says, long to Shana, how can it be the Torah says you have to burn the Asherahs, typically that they belong to Klai, so not to Masai. Gemara says, no. You won't believe this one. Gemara says, if Klai Yisrael wouldn't have been chayte by the Egel, the attacker would have been right. Egel the Muslim, Shin Shul. But once Klai Yisrael were chayte by the Egel, that shows that at that moment in time, they were very into idolatry. They're very into Avodah Zarah. Not only were they into the Hegel, but they were im kvar as kvar. You're already bowing down to an Egel, you might as well what? Might as well go the whole 9 yards and do the whole thing. Egel alech Yisrael, mikash iba lulus harbeg. They were bound to everything, you name it. They were just, it was time to party. All the Avodah Zarah in the world, whatever was around, it would happen. A guy is chayte, a person is chayte Avodah Zarah. It's such a Yitzhara, not only do they want to do it themselves, what else do they want? I want you to join them. It's great. We're all in this together. Im kvar as kvar. Ready? Letting loose. Im kvar as kvar. Everyone, let's all together. Ish Yisrael Yazor L'Archim Yirmach Hazach. They're probably thinking, why did I quote that pasuk? That pasuk's a beautiful song. We sing it at weddings. Ish Yisrael. It's like giving chizuk for Torah and mitzvahs, right? So if you look at the pasuk, what's that pasuk talking about? Ish Yisrael Yazor L'Archim Yirmach Hazach. Everyone sing that and dancing that to a wedding? Okay, if you bother looking it up in Navi, the pasuk is talking about how each person is being mechazik the other one to serve idols together. Everyone's coming. Come on, let's go. Let's get stuff down. Let's worship this calf together. And somebody put it to music. When I was younger, there used to be a song. So it's a beautiful song. Hashem's going to come, he's going to chuck with candles, Yerushalayim. Everyone thinks about it. It's like Yerushalayim song 50 years. Come on, beautiful, what a nigga. So if you look at the Pasuk, what the Pasuk's talking about, the Gemara says in Masechet Sfachim is, Hashem Baruch is going to look for every last chait. He's looking for the chataim and saying, ay, 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 this aveir and that aveir, chat is aveir, like, but this is chametz, and this is aveir, this is a chait. and everyone's tansing and dancing. And Chafei says, Yerushalayim, the Russian's great, the Malik, he's getting rid of all Mechad. Very sure. So you gotta know what you're putting to music. You gotta just.
How would an Rishonim say that
somebody did a Avodah Zarah Mamash. Somebody. I mean, it may have not have started the Rishonim, but the Chumash, but as I say, that the plan wasn't supposed to be Avodah Zarah. The initial plan wasn't, but at the end of the day, it deteriorated. At the end of the day, they did. So the initial plan probably wasn't, but it deteriorated very quickly. So basically, back to this story. One of the Zohar says, that once Klai saw B'chaita the Egel, they were more than happy to go to them, who lived 100 miles away in Eretz Yisrael, just as we are worshiping idols, let them worship our idols also. It's our trees, doesn't matter. They were evil to look, they were fine with it. And Gemara says, it's because of Klai Yisrael's Haskam, because they consented to all the idolatry taking place with all of their trees, that created the issue of Asherah. But not for that, not for the angel, we're not to get rid of all the Asherahs, a limited difference. It's a very, very mechushtik. So in the context of that Gemara, the Gemara has a funny word, and the funny word throws us off a little bit, or throws us on, depending on who you ask. The Gemara says, how do you understand that halakhic phenomena that I'm not worshipping the tree, I don't even know the tree at all, I'm in the middle of the Midbar, dancing with a golden calf, and there's a goy living 100 miles away in Eretz Yisrael, a guy from the Chiti, who's worshiping a tree, and because I'm worshiping a calf, and he's worshiping a tree, it's as if I appointed him to be my shliach. What's the shlichus say? The goyim who are worshiping worshiping trees are the shlichus of the Jews who are tansa the eagle, and that's what creates the way to circumvent the halachic impediment of any of the ones that are. And thus is the pshat and the use of Hashem. In a million years, I would have said it, but the Dal said it, so we have to explain it. Kum Tamach and Ephraim, and says, Shlichus. The Gemara said the word Shlichus. What do you see from here? What's the Shlichus? What's the Shlichus? He's a guy. How could the Jew, Tansel and Yego, make a Shlichus for the guy to bow down to a tree? Ancient of the Yaakov. What's the answer? Says the Machan Ephraim, when you bow down to the Ego, you know what you are also? To this to what? To this to Nachum. That's your Rashid Tevah. You're a goy. You're acting like a goy. You're an Nachum. And therefore, normally, there's no Shlichus for Goyim. But Zach Masas Binyonim, from one guy to another guy, there is Shlichus for Goyim. Thus is the shlichus that Chazal are talking about here. That's what the Gemara of Zohar is driving at. That's the shlichus. And Zokt Mach and Ephraim, this is the Mokor, this is the source of Chazal. The Yesh shlichus ben Akum Akum. Otherwise, there would be no way of understanding this Gemara.
We also see from here that for a goy to another goy, Ein shlichus l'dvar vera.
Yes, this is part of the Tzoyis Hashem, right.
How can
you sleep? So wait a second. So we are very, very weary of this Machan Ephraim on many, many fronts. This Machan Ephraim is such a chiddush. Because you know what word the Machan Ephraim took so literally? Shlichus. Other Acharyim say, come on, after the Gemara, this is Shlichus. I never met the guy bowing down to the Asherah. I'm dancing somewhere in the middle of a Midbar Sinai with a golden calf. He's 100 miles away. I didn't text him and email him. I never called him up. I have no idea. I point as a shlich. Come on. That's a shlichus. The Lashon shlichus is Lashon Mushalas. It's the borrowed phrase. Shlichus. What does it really mean? What does it really mean, that shlichus? In order to overcome the obstacle, the hurdle of in and the most Doshan Shalari, it just has to do. It's almost like something. I just have to be okay with it. Somebody bows down to my property and I'm not okay with it, he can't ask me. But if I'm okay, I'll give him the green light. I think the point is the shlich, this is the shlichus. What is it called? Shlichus? Shlichus is just because we're such lamdanim, so the Gemara just played with us, they gave us the word shlichus. It doesn't mean halachic. It's not ayin kedushin mem aleph, this is the shlichus. Shlichus. Say what the Chachamim say. It just means it's a nichaleg. That's all it is right now. But the Machan Ephraim saw in this Gemara an unbelievable chiddush. He saw this Gemara that this is a mokrafi din for the masses of Yemen, that there is a shlichus from one world going to another world. But there's a very, very big red flag, a very big problem with the Machna Frayim. Machna Frayim made an unbelievable assumption. What was his unbelievable assumption?
Rumors.
That it called a Jew over to Verzara a good. Now, we're not condoning, we're not advocating for the guys bound down to this golden calf. We don't like Igla's Oz. We're not afraid of that. But to say that Api Din, he's now a guy, and that impacts the Nucha Shalichos, and now he can become a Shaliach for a guy, Kolzman he was from, when he said Nasa Nishma, we would have appointed a Shaliach, we would have called a guy up and told him to buy something if it wouldn't have worked, because ain't Shalichos Liachom. But once the Jews, Eved Ben Azar, he becomes Nefach Lios a guy, and now he becomes an Achom, and now one Achom can make another Achom. That's quite a statement. That's a loaded statement. So if you want to limp shine that can run a Zara like the Machna Frayim, support the Masses Binyamin, you got to really, really convince me that that's true. That's a quite a loaded statement. That's impacted many ways of Allah. A Jew worships a Zara, he now becomes Dino Ke Achom vis-a-vis HaShlichos, and now he has Shlichos to another guy. Well, prove to me that's correct. I'll do that tomorrow. We'll pick up in that Nakuda. But back then tomorrow, thanks a little more for application for that.
Right when I opened it, man.